Welcome to the Sketchy Sketch Sketch Show podcast. It's open mic night for sketch.
We cold read comedy sketches, then discuss how they were written.
Here to host the show, I'm Harrison.
And I'm Amy. With us in the writer's room,
I'm Keely Anastasia.
I'm Keith Estrella.
I'm Tyler Chick.
In this week's episode, we start with a really professional waitress who gets you just what you need. Then a few friends get together on a fun Saturday night. Finally, there's more than meets the eye when you look closely at this last sketch. Then join us on the Rift Plane with Christina and Lauren.
And stick around to the very end of the episode for a fun writing prompt to inspire your own writing. With us on the show today,
Christina Lengel, she, her.
Lauren Palazzolo, she, her.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. You all ready to goof?
Yay! Oh, yeah.
Woo.
Hey, everybody.
Goof, goof.
We're ready to goof.
Goof, 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 goof.
Oh, that's intense.
Yeah, I was a good chant. I'm sorry I didn't join in.
Yeah, it was like sporty.
I was expecting someone to, and then I decided to cut myself off.
It reminded me of when everybody's going, Rufio. Rufio.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, actually.
I cannot say I took inspiration from whatever that is from.
Hook. Dante Bosco plays Rufio. He's like the coolest lost boy.
And they're just eating frosting. It looks like that's all they eat is frosting.
Yeah. What a madness.
Someone loses their marbles, like, and their literal marbles.
Yeah. Make a clever joke about that.
You should play Captain Hook, Keith. That's a really good hook.
I would love to. Honestly,
I would that.
Any pirate, really. Yeah, so like
now we all have to write pirate sketches, and you can be the pirate in all of them.
It's like number one thing I would play, knight.
Shocking. Shocking.
Number one.
We do have someone here who's played a pirate on stage. So.
Oh, yeah. That's
how you're Apache the pirate. That's correct.
One day we'll be pirates together.
Well, speaking of pirate togetherness, how about a sketch? Our first sketch today is titled, Who Got This? Written by
Harrison Merck.
Susan will be played by
Lauren Palazzolo.
Duke will be played by
Keithy.
Rocky will be played by
Christina Lengel.
Shem will be played by
Amy D.
Mal will be played by
Tyler Chick.
And Carter will be played by
Harrison Merck. Interior restaurant night. Susan, she, her, stands at a table where Duke, Rocky, Shem, Mal, and Carter sit.
Oh, that's great. Which one of you is it that don't work no more?
Guilty as charged.
Everyone laughs. Susan gets out her notepad and pen.
How about another round of drinks?
Freddie approaches with a plate and hands it to Susan.
Oh, we got some entrees coming. Okay, who got this one? Is it a pasta? What y'all got this? It's not a creamy sauce or pesto or nothing like that. It's just a normal red sauce, long noodles one. Who's this one for?
You don't know what it's called?
I don't know the words it's called on the menu.
that's me. I got that. Thank you.
Susan puts the plate down in front of Shem.
How about those drinks?
Everyone at the table agrees.
Pretty thirsty.
Yeah, yeah. Drinks.
Thanks. I'll be right back with another round.
Susan turns to leave when Freddie appears with another entree.
Oh, geez, wow. This is the loudest plate I've ever seen. Look at this.
Loud plate?
It might be a platter, onions, peppers, chicken. Who got this?
Fajitas.
That's me. I'm the loud plate.
You don't know fajitas?
Oh, is that the menu word for it?
You're supposed to know what the things are called on the menu.
You know, adults, braces, lady, there's other stuff in the world besides just what stuff is called.
Mal shakes their empty glass.
Ah, let me get them drinks. Sorry about the wait. 7-10 split.
Everyone except Rocky and Carter laugh. Freddie approaches.
Oh, look at that. Sorry, I'll get the drinks right after this one. Here we go. Thanks, Freddie. All right, who's got this? Who's this for? Looks like a meat tube and a little bread sleeping bag. We got the meat tube that's ready for bed. It's got red and yellow on top. It's got some stinky dust.
Hot dog. Yes, I got the hot dog.
You got a hot dog for dinner at a restaurant?
So you do know what a hot dog is.
Well, now that he said it, I do.
She doesn't know some words, Rocky. It's okay. How about Another round of drinks? Hey, drinks.
Susan leaves. It's not that weird to get a hot dog at dinner.
Carter, it's my dinner to celebrate that I don't work no more. Sleepy meat tube was a weird choice.
I think not knowing the names of any of the dishes you served and not remembering who ordered them is way weirder than eating a hot dog for dinner, babe.
Thank you. And it's not sleepy.
I think not knowing the menu words is what makes her unable to know who got what. It's not a memory problem. She has to describe stuff.
Susan comes back with a shrimp cocktail in her hand.
Okay, I think the kitchen is making jokes on me again. Did any of you get a triangle glass drink with red clumpy sauce in it and five little fish clinging onto the sides?
Not a drink.
This is a drink glass. Side whites.
It's a shrimp cocktail. It's mine.
Susan hands the shrimp cocktail to Maul and Gags.
You don't have to drink little fish and lump sauce for a joke order. My stomach acid and bile are going to excite my digestive system and send undigested food back up my esophagus if you drink that.
You don't know the word vomit?
I know all the words I need, oh dog.
All right, everybody, stop. We're here to celebrate that Duke retired. Don't work no more.
Shut up, Shem, you silver spoon-fed dunce. I wasn't born in Liz Claiborne power suits with a hot dog king husband. I crawled my way to the top. I used to be a waitress, and I would go home every night and study the menu words. Confit, tartare, aioli. Duke plucked me off the streets, introduced me to Carter, and taught me how to bump into tourists and take their wallets and other crimes. Duke's retirement dinner deserves a good waitress.
Rocky chugs the shrimp cocktail. Susan pukes. When she pukes, another round of drinks flies out of her mouth and onto the table, except for Rocky and Carter, who both just get another shrimp cocktail and a hot dog.
Thank God. To Duke.
Susan raises a drink.
To Mallhead.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. Yeah.
So it really just came from those riffs. Sketches, if you listen to the previous episode, we riff on this and a lot of the moves come right out of that. And then I just kind of added some 7-10 split, which is a classic Tyler move for someone that's bald on top but has the sides, which is also what side whites means.
Oh, okay.
The little white. Like sideburn.
Yeah, just sideways. Yeah. Yeah, like white hair, but it's just on the sides.
The wings.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, mostly it's just a character sketch for this server who doesn't want to learn the menu words and doesn't think she needs to.
The phrase menu word? Oh, is that the menu word for it? Is my favorite. Now, it's the second time you refer to words on the menu. The first time you said, I don't know the words that it's called on the menu. But the phrase menu words itself, I'd like to see that maybe like seven more times after that. Yeah. Like, forget the rule of threes. Like, just the idea of menu words is fantastic. So that was my big thing.
We're not talking
thing.
About that. We're talking about menu words.
I love this sketch so much. This Susan character is so hilarious. I wonder like what other thing she doesn't know words for. Like, I get that she's like identifying people by like what they're wearing or what they look like. But like, what else doesn't she know words for? Where did she come from?
I'd love to see her like at the hospital. I don't know, trying to describe something that's going wrong with her body without knowing body part words.
I'd love to see her on the phone with an IT person trying to describe what's going on with her computer.
Yeah.
I want to see her hailing a cab. I want to see her at the dog park. I want to see her in the grocery store. I want to see her freaking everywhere. And all read by Lauren, because that was perfect. Perfect.
Look, all I know is that in the front of me, there are hard lines like this. And underneath that, it feels ouch. The hard lines here.
Yeah.
This part's a little squishy.
my I don't tummy. Know it's supposed to be.
My front cage. My front cage. Yeah. Something under there hurts.
Oh, no, I puked up a whole drink order again.
Oh, the orders came right out of me.
Yeah. Oh, that's where I put the drinks.
In my tummy cabinet.
Tummy cabinet. Yeah, then the blackout sketch of the runner is like, my tummy cabinet's acting up again, Doc.
You know, my tummy cabinet behind my front cage next to the big...
behind my front cage.
The mounds.
Yeah, the mounds. Air. The air. Mm.
Squish
pockets air. And the thumper.
And the thumper. I got a little pinch right under my thumper. Next to my tummy cabinet. I think it's my tummy cabinet.
Yeah. Oh God, my food tube hurts.
Oh geez, wow. This is the loudest plate I've ever seen. Look at this.
Our second sketch today is titled Cancel Chicken, and we've got a new writer alert. This is written by
Christina Langell.
Matt will be played by
Harrison Merkt.
Sarah will be played by
Lauren Palazzolo.
Kyle will be played by
Keithy.
Bill will be played by
Tyler Chick.
Justin will be played by
Amy D.
And Sam will be played by
Christina Langell. Interior, Baxter Living Room, night. Married couple Matt, he, him, and Sarah, she, her, sit across from each other on a sectional. Matt appears anxious, alternately rubbing his thighs with his palms and running his fingers through his hair. Sarah is typing on her phone and smirking.
You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm great. Why? Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Are we heading out soon?
No, babe. It's only 7:30. Your sister said come by at 9.
Right. Doesn't that feel so late to you to start hanging out?
I think they were waiting for the kids to be in bed. She's your sister.
That's right. They won't fall asleep till after sundown. Still feels late, though.
Matt resumes his anxious movements. Interior, Morris Kitchen, the same night. Married couple Kyle, he, him, and Bill, he, him, stand on opposite sides of their kitchen island. Kyle frowns at the dregs of red wine in his glass.
Do you think they're going to cancel?
Why would they cancel?
I don't know. Sometimes they do. Things are always happening with Justin's mom or whatever.
Justin's mom lives in Denver, honey. I don't think they're going to book a last minute flight at 8 p.m. on a Saturday.
I know. You're right. Of course you're right.
Kyle eyes an unopened bottle of red by the stove. Interior, Stuart living room, the same night. Married couple Justin, he, him, and Sam, she, her, are moving around the room frantically. Sam is wiping down surfaces with a dust cloth while Justin is shoving clutter into piles and drawers.
Are you sure this is necessary?
Do you want them to think we didn't even prepare for them to come over?
We didn't prepare.
No, we didn't finish in time, but we did prepare. I bought wine, and as soon as I'm finishing this, I am making a charcuterie board.
You're cutting up the half-eaten block of cheddar that's been in the fridge for weeks, tearing up some lunch meat, and throwing them on a cutting board with some craisins and a bag of pita chips. I think charcuterie is being a little generous, babe.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't pay the old world cheese department at Wegmans $100 to do the exact same thing.
You don't need to bring my cave-aged Gruyere into this just because you're upset you invited people over and all you've got to offer is an overstated Lunchable.
Baxter living room. Matt is pacing. Sarah is still scrolling through her phone.
Do you think the dog will be okay with us gone?
Isn't he always?
Yeah, it's just a long time.
I'm sure he'll be fine. All he does is sleep at this hour anyway.
Exactly, because we sleep.
Do you want me to cancel?
Of course not. We never go out anymore.
Morris Kitchen. Kyle has grabbed the unopened wine and is removing the foil. Bill looks at his watch.
You're really going to open a fresh bottle of wine 10 minutes before we leave the house?
That'll be nice to have something to come back to. We can kick off our shoes and relax.
We're not even going to their house till 9, and you And you think we're going to kick up our feet and relax when we get home? At what, midnight? One even? No, thank you, sir. I'll be going to bed.
Do you want me to cancel?
No, of course not. We never go out.
Stuart Kitchen. Sam cuts her finger while chopping a single stalk of celery. She raises her hand to her mouth and throws the knife into the sink. God damn it. This is not nearly enough snacks for six people. I don't know what I was thinking.
Honey, it's just your brother and our best friends. They're not going to give a shit.
Just because they won't care if we're bad hosts doesn't mean they won't appreciate if we're good hosts. We never have people over anymore.
Do you want me to cancel? I'm sure they won't mind if we reschedule. It's been such a gross, rainy day. They probably don't want to come over anyway.
Absolutely not. Baxter living room. Matt is kneeling down in front of the dog's crate, patting his head and looking mournful.
This is it, bud. We're heading out for the night.
Morris garage, 1 minute later. Kyle enters the garage from the house, glances at the pair of motorcycles, and shivers before joining Bill in the car. As the door shuts, Bill turns the key in the ignition. We hear the click of a dead battery.
Oh my God, babe. Does this mean what I think it does? Does this mean what I think it does?
I'm sure as hell not taking a bike in this weather. I'll tell the group chat.
I'll pour the wine.
Then maybe I can get you into something more comfortable.
The two embrace, kissing passionately. Stuart Kitchen. Both Justin and Sam's phones buzz on the counter. They lock hopeful eyes. Justin grabs his phone. Is it?
Bill.
Did they?
Cancel? Can we?
No. My brother and Sarah are still coming. Baxter driveway. Sarah is walking toward her car. Matt follows behind slowly, glancing longingly back at the house every few seconds. Sarah stops and rifles through her purse. She pulls out her phone and reads a message. She turns to face Matt.
Babe, Bill and Kyle canceled.
Great. So it's just the four of us?
No, I'm going to propose we reschedule when we can all get together.
Oh, really? God, I love you.
The two embrace, kissing passionately. Stuart Kitchen.
Your brother canceled!
Sam screams and jumps into Justin's arms. They kiss passionately. Baxter living room, 3 minutes later. Matt, Sarah, and the dog are all asleep on the sectional. Morris living room. Kyle and Bill are asleep on a love seat, wine glass teetering dangerously in Kyle's hand. Stuart living room. Justin and Sam are asleep on the couch. Their cat is picking at the charcuterie board on the coffee table.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
It honestly just came from my husband and I had plans with our friends, and we were just really hoping they were going to cancel. And then they did. Wonderful. So that was that.
Cool. Yeah, it's super fun. It's very real. Like, you did a really good job of, like, writing real humans in, like, real situations. For me, I think, like, the sketch follows, like, the plot of what you're saying a lot. And, like, I'd love to just, like, find more places to sort of, like, ignite the game a little bit in the scene. My, like, suggestion here is, like, a huge suggestion. So, like, you know, take it or leave it. It's just a note. But I love to have sketches, like, in one place. Mm-hmm. And so for my money, I would love to put these three couples, like, on the Stewart front porch and have them, like, negotiate this conversation about, like, whether or not they're still going to all hang out, like, right there in person.
I love that.
That'd probably take some pages off for you to, you know, like, I don't know. For me, it would just, like, take what we have here and, like, all this really true stuff about kind of, like, not wanting to hang out and put it in a space where it's, like, a little bit heightened.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of building off of what Harrison said, all of these people are 100% real and their relationships and dialogue reflects that. And it's great. I also love how in each couple, you have one person that's really doesn't want to go and they're being honest about that. And then the other person is kind of being like, no, we'll go. And, you know, I think it's so visual, too.
I personally would like to see just a sketch with Justin and Sam Some of the goblins is Justin shoving clutter into piles and drawers, just like, so I imagine just like a bunch of like shit just getting put into like wherever to have like the semblance of being cleaned.
That kind of makes me think of, if you would take this kind of in a different direction where you focus on Justin and Sam, like frantically screaming at each other, trying to clean up, and the other one or two couples, depending on how you would do it, would be like, just chill about like, maybe we shouldn't go. And as the scenes go back and forth, if that's just an idea, you have Justin and Sam like screaming and things are on fire. And it's just like complete chaos, like through the roof.
They're going to be here in an hour.
And then just like keeps escalating to the point of like no return.
When are we going to watch this week's episode of The Time Traveler's Wife, babe?
End it with getting divorced. Someone cancels and they're like, it's fine, we're getting divorced anyway.
Let's just cancel this marriage.
We've been secretly wanting to cancel this our marriage for a while.
They throw their rings or whatever into like a random junk drawer.
I love that if the moment is also like, hey, did you just want to cancel this?
I think it would be funny if you did have them all in one place, say at the walking into the party. Maybe it's not Justin and Sam's party, but someone else's party. If you have them all walking in and then, or the walking up to the porch together, and then they're kind of like, oh God, I really don't want to be here. I'm so tired. Oh, we were thinking about, oh my God, we were too. Mm-hmm. Wait, you guys weren't thinking of canceling because of what so-and-so said last week. No, it wasn't him. Okay, we were also thinking of canceling. Is it because I smell? So-and-so said I had bad BO, but I don't smell it. And then they all think it's like each one of them is canceling because of the other. And then it just turns out that like everyone just doesn't want to go to this party.
Yeah,
because they're tired.
Working it out and being like, no, there's no hard feelings between any of us. I'm just tired. I haven't practiced guitar at all this week.
When you put it like that, I feel like it. I almost want it to be like everyone else has like real grounded reasons, and one person just keeps getting stuck on like, but I don't smell right.
Because I did shower good. 2 days ago.
I showered.
But that's not why we didn't want to come tonight. I didn't want to come tonight because they're probably going to unmask my favorite singer on The Masked Singer.
And if it's Rudy Giuliani again, I'm going to throw it.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't pay the old world cheese department at Wegmans $100 to do the exact same thing.
Our last sketch today is titled Dick Pic Backgrounds, written by
Lauren Palazzolo.
Sharon will be played by
Harrison Mert.
Alyssa will be played by
Christina Langell.
Tipper will be played by
Amy D.
Miles will be played by
Tyler Chick.
And James will be played by
Keithy.
Interior bar at night. A group of friends, Sharon, Alyssa, Tipper, and Miles, are at a bar catching up on their dating lives.
So, Alyssa, met anyone worth your while lately?
Ugh, girl, I thought there was potential with this one dude, but then he sent this dick pic that was just, ugh.
Oh my God. I can't handle it when men send unsolicited dick pics.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I don't mind.
A dick pic is a treasure trove of information if you know what to look for. It's not just the penis.
Hold up. Excuse me?
Show me the dick pic.
Alyssa gets out her phone and shows the group the dick pic.
Oh, he's a veiny little guy.
Okay. I see why you were so turned off by the dick in this pic. Look past the penis in the background.
The group huddles around the phone.
There's a pile of toenail clippings on the nightstand behind him. That's why you were subconsciously turned off by this dick pic.
What the actual fuck? You're like a dick pic whisperer.
Do me next. I met this guy last week. Super cute. Seems really nice. Great dick.
Miles hands Sharon his phone.
Ooh, yes. Great dick. Okay, let's see.
Sharon examines the photo on the phone. Her face goes sour.
Miles, I'm sorry I have to say this, but you need to run. This penis is very clingy.
What? I haven't gotten that impression from him.
Look closely in the background.
She and Miles stare at his phone as she zooms in on the photo.
In the background, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 photos of him and his mom. And that's just in this one dick pic.
Let me see that.
Miles takes the phone and examines the photo further.
I think it's wonderful that he loves his mother so much.
No, Tipper, you fuck. It's gross.
Miles screams, drops the phone, and runs off crying. Sharon picks up the phone.
Oh, boy. It's worse than I thought. Look, you can see in the mirror the reflection of his mother. She takes his dick pics for him.
Oh, that's lovely. It shows what a tight mother-son bond they have.
You have psychological problems.
A man, James, approaches the group.
Excuse me. A crying gentleman in the bathroom told me there was a dick pic whisperer over here. I was wondering if you could take a look at one of my dick pics?
Sure. I'd be happy to. How long have you known the penis?
Not long. We've only been on a few dates.
James hands Sharon his phone. Sharon examines the dick pic.
Something's not right here. The background in this dick pic is too perfect. This penis is trying too hard. See here?
Sharon is now holding an iPad and a magnifying glass. The group is looking at the dick pic on the iPad.
I see a 6-course meal in the background. It looks amazing.
Exactly. It's almost as if the penis knows we would be looking in the background.
That makes sense. This penis has sent me dick pics before, but I ignored them.
Do you have any of the previous dick pics? Airdrop them to me.
James airdrops them to Sharon, who is now wearing a detective hat and trench coat.
I see something here in the background. But I need to enhance the image. Over here.
The group runs over to the TV in the bar. People are watching sports on it. Sharon throws the dick pic up on the TV. People are bummed that their sports are gone, then intrigued by the dick pic. Sound effects for zooming in on the pic.
What is it, Detective Dick Pic Whisperer?
Just as I thought. Look here.
Sharon pulls out a laser pointer.
In the background, here. See this? Closet is ajar. There's a gallon of bleach. Rolls of duct tape, rope, and boxes of garbage bags.
The penis is a tiny handyman?
This penis is a serial killer. And I just saved your life.
Oh my God. Thank you, Detective Dick Pic Whisperer. Because of you, I'll live to see another penis.
The crowd in the bars cheers, and the group does a victory jump to freeze frame.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say it was Kara. I want to say Kara was talking about getting
probably
getting dick pics. And I'm like, how does she get all these dick pics? Like, why are men just sending her random dick? Is this normal? I don't know. I've never been on a dating app. And I don't mean to brag and be like, I've never been on a dating app because but I just have never used it or used one of them. And so, I guess that it's a thing that people just do. They send you dick pics. And then I was like,
yeah,
well, what's in the background though? Like, I wonder what else can you see about this person from their dick pics? And then I was like, oh, that'd be funny if it was a lady who's like, the Sherlock Holmes of dick pics.
So my favorite bit you have going in this sketch is that she slowly gets into full detective garb. And I would I feel like there's especially the first two iterations of the game, you could have her you could insinuate that a little more with each one of those beats. I think the sooner we can get to the closer changing, the more fun you can have as you heighten that.
Yeah.
But oh my God, this is so funny. First of all, it's so true. I feel like you can tell a lot about someone from the background of the dick pic. I love the heightening on the mom beat. Super, super funny. putting it up on the TV in a bar is really fun. There's a line where someone just sort of frames someone else as having psychological problems. And that's for me, it's just
if you can find a way to get around calling someone crazy in the scene, I feel like the audience might get like stuck on that. Like, oh, does that person?
Oh, yeah.
It's a funny thing to say, but it's also like if anyone takes that line seriously, like if anyone respects those words, it might be like a just like a sticky thing the audience would get stuck on.
Oh, where Tipper says, that's lovely. It shows they have a tight mother-son bond. And then Alyssa's like, you have psychological problems. To change that to something like, I'm not so sure about your judgment anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because like also like, no, Tipper, you fuck. It's gross. Got a huge laugh. Because it's super fun. Like, that beat
again.
Do you
hear yourself right now?
Yeah.
Tipper,
yeah.
No more talking.
Yes.
Another no son bond?
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're putrid.
They are a fun, like, devil angel dynamic. Being way too positive about these dick pics and, like,
I think my biggest takeaway from this is that I need to give myself more permission to have the world be absurd or to have impossible things happen without justifying them. Like as how the costume appeared, like, that's not what this is about, and that's not important. And sketch is a world where you can do things like that. And I think I would like to give myself more permission to do that. So I thank you for exploring that in this. And I agree that like if you got into it sooner, you could heighten further. And like I was just thinking about like turning from the bar TV and there's like a full crime lab. Right there.
That was my thought too, Tyler. That was great. Oh, okay. That was nice. Awesome.
With a great Watson mind, in Amy. The corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like if there's like a version of this where she turns into like Batman, but for dick pics at the end, like.
Yeah, it turns into the Batcave around the
place.
My parents were killed by dick pics.
Oh my god, that's how she became the dick pic detective.
Miles, I'm sorry I have to say this, but you need to run. This penis is very clingy. What is that sound?
Check me out. I'm on a snack cart. Hi.
Whoa, you're riding the snack cart.
Wow.
I'm rolling on a snack cart today. So who wants to show me their boarding pass? Who's riffing?
I have a ticket.
Oh, hello, Pastor Christina. Have we met before? I can't honestly remember.
No, I think this is our first encounter.
Wow. Well, greetings. I'm the Riff Captain, the captain of Riffs and also of Snacks. Today, normally I have a flight attendant to take care of that, but no, I gave him the day off. Anyways,
Riff Captain, I love how you're always focused on something that's not flying the plane.
Wear a lot of hats.
You have a lot of work to do flying.
It flies itself.
That's not like, where your head's at.
It's been flown so often. It has that artificial intelligence, you know. It's a learning computer. But anyways, let's see that boarding pass, Passenger Christina, and let's hear what you got.
Okay, so my family and I were driving home from the Outer Banks earlier this week, and there was a sign on the highway, like the electronic signs that they change all the time. And it said something to the effect of make T-Rex go extinct, but Rex spelled with a W. No handheld devices while driving. And I was like, they must have been so pleased with themselves. They must have really, really been. So then, I don't know, this isn't really a thing, I guess, but my idea was like, whose job is that? And then how funny it would be if there's a writer's room coming up with the ideas for the highway signs. Like, just like way too many people and too much effort going into just clever ways to warn people about traffic.
All right, guys, this bridge is going to be out for the next 3 to 4 months. We need to get in there and notify the public, and we got to be real clever about it. We're not going to get their attention if we're not funny.
I love this idea of like, yeah, like the room being split on this idea of whether or not T-Rex is clever or not. Like being in a marketing meeting and like the team from the marketing firm is there and like the representatives of the highway patrol or like the highway, the whoever owns the billboard space is there.
Right.
And like just being like, oh, T-Rex, that's clever.
Or it could be something where like the transportation board has been approached by whatever movie studio does Jurassic Park. And so they're like, well, you did a great job on that T-Rex one. We did such a great job. Now we've got Kellogg's or, you know, Starbucks wanting us to do a thing for them. And then we've got like Lay's potato chips wanting us to do one. And then you could do one for each. And then it gets more and more obscure. Like Tampax wants us to do one. So I guess we gotta figure that out.
Go with the flow of traffic.
Don't clog up traffic. Go with the flow.
Oh my lordy. It could be a meeting where it's like somebody's nephew or like some unqualified person is like in charge of the the marketing scheme.
Yeah, like starting the sketch with it being like, all right, and everybody, Danny, who's Maxine and Bob's son, who started the company, is going to be sitting in with us in the meeting today. And I'd be like, what about T-Rex with a W?
Which is great because like they don't need to be joke, like they're just informative signs.
Yes, right. Yes.
Like they made up a job just you can just make puns with this.
I don't know, Kyle, I think we're just gonna have something that says like texting and driving kills.
Like you could do that if you wanted to go halfway on something.
If you didn't want anybody to read it.
Okay, so it's a picture of a dodo bird and it says dodo don't text and drive.
Kyle, these signs don't have images. They're
You can use a dodo emoji.
You can only fit 24 characters on the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You think it doesn't have images, but that's because you're not thinking outside the box.
You just pulled out a light, right?
Yes. My mama and papa started this company.
When I was 6, I said, what if a light bright was real big? Yeah. And that's why we have big light up signs today.
Yeah. And then it says, Dodo, don't text and drive.
What if Eminem was reinventing himself and writing Dr. Seuss style children's books? Or he's reading a book. He's doing a reading at a bookstore to children, and he's reading his own new children's book.
I would love hear like Eminem be like, I feel like I've always been writing Dr. Seuss books. You just like you just wanted me to make rap. Rap was the only way I could make money doing writing Dr. Seuss books. So that's what I did. You know, like if this is like what Eminem always wanted to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of rap, but the whole time I was working on my new book, Grumpkins and Snarks.
Or he's at a publisher meeting and he's pitching children's books. And the publisher's like, I thought we were going to have this meeting to talk about your memoir. I don't, you know what? It's all on Wikipedia. Just, I'm really interested in children's books. That's what I want to write. But then I feel like it's got to be, the funny part of that is like funny rhymes that are like maybe slightly inappropriate for children. But yeah. For Eminem, they make sense. Like,
or it's not rhymes and that's why the publishing company is so confused. It's like, we just assumed if you were writing a children's book that it would be rhyming.
That's funny.
This is just a story.
Just Eminem being like opening up a children's book that he wrote and being like, and I was really inspired by Dr. Seuss. Okay, yeah, here we go. Yeah.
And then nothing, guys.
Three horses live on a farm. And they all love to run.
Okay, he's gonna rhyme with run. Okay.
These three horses are all friends, and they love the farmer.
Okay, maybe it's the next line.
The
okay.
Three horses go to school together, and the farmer stays at home. Wait, what?
They're learning to do arithmetic.
Yeah.
And at home, they study their flashcards.
Yeah. Yeah. They gallop to the pond and swat flies with their tails.
If you do that, you can make everything that was going to like sound like it's going to rhyme with bad words, and they get nervous. Yeah. And nothing rhymes at all. Oh. Wait, nothing
the game
rhymes?
Is bad rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad rap. I love that. I was thinking too, if it is in like the pitch meeting, I'd like to see, I don't know, it depends on what the game of the sketch is, but I'd like to see him, and I'm also want to illustrate it himself, and like he can't draw, it's just like stick figures. Maybe some of those are inappropriate. It just depends. But it's like horrible, horrible art.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I drew it myself. That's my second love after writing children's book is children's art. And then my third love after that is actually baking. And then my fourth love after that is rap music.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Em. I appreciate you telling us your four greatest loves.
You want me to write a baking book? I'd love to. I'd love to do that.
Holding the book like this way so the audience can see it the whole time and like reading it over like and showing the pictures and they're just stick figures.
Mom's spaghetti.
That's
right.
Called Mom's spaghetti.
Or the best recipe.
So great.
The book is called Mom's Spaghetti, but it's about horses going to school.
I think that's a good riff.
Captain, can you get us over to assignment station, please?
Sure, yeah. Let me get off the stack card first. Okay.
You've been on it the whole time.
Yep. The whole time. We're here.
All right, Sketchies. The assignment this week is audition. You know, you get anybody auditioning for a part in a play or a movie. Auditions are uncomfortable and embarrassing. Even when the director is doing a great job. So yeah, there's a lot of fodder there. You can think about someone auditioning for a part that they're like just really not meant for. You can think about, you know, auditioning, you know, how desperate it could get, how embarrassing it could get if it goes wrong, trying to cry or something. I don't know. Auditions, there's a lot of stuff. The assignment is audition.
Try.
Kevin, can you get us over to Plugport?
We're here.
All right, Christina, you got anything you want to plug?
Check out ravenrabbitram.com. So raven like a bird, rabbit like a bunny, ram like a
goat.
Ram. Goat. Yeah. We're always looking for submissions to for poetry, stuff like that, reviews, anything you like to write, you like to publish.
What exactly is you just submit like poetry to this website or?
Yeah, so it's an art Harrisburg based arts and culture website. Blog stuff, poetry stuff, mostly. Actually, we are doing a live poetry reading for New Cumberland's first ever Pride. Which will be the week.
Awesome.
The Pride itself will be on the 23rd. And I believe that the poetry reading will be the 22nd of July. Oh, and also if you're in the Harrisburg area, Bonfire Society is at the Hit on first and third Fridays every month.
Lauren, anything you want to plug?
So our sketch group has our first live show Tuesday, June 21st, which I know is going to happen before this episode airs, but we should have video recording of our sketches up on our website, Jorts. What is the website again? Jorts.
Just Jorts with a Z.com.
Just Jorts with a Z.com. So I'm sure we'll have links to our videos up there. Check it out. Follow Jorts on social media, Jorts with a Z.
Yeah, I got a plug. I mentioned that I went to the improv retreat, plugged that last week, but I'm going to plug something else that I found that I met a bunch of people from Oklahoma City, OKC Improv. Like most of the people that were at that camp were from Oklahoma City, and that's where they all improvised. Their website is okcimprov.com. If you're in that area of the country, they do shows Friday and Saturday night. They have classes. They have probably other fun stuff too. So please do check them out if you have convenience or wherewithal to do so. Yeah, they're really great.
All right, everybody, that's all for us. Thank you to all the participants and to the Jeff Powers for the music you've heard. Also, a big thanks to you, the listeners. If you'd like to support the show or check out more that we have to offer, head on over to sketchysketchsketch.com.
While you're there, check out our Patreon. It's got videos of us recording these episodes. It's got special merch and stuff on there. It's got everything you need to be our ultimate fan. And if you're like, hey, I write funny stuff, I want to bring it on the show, I want you to talk about it, I want to hear it read, email us your sketches to sketchysketchpod@gmail.com or fill out the form on our website.
Also, if you just heard something you loved and you want to give love to the writer, or if you have a joke idea for them or a pitch or anything, feel free to hit us up on that website where there's a place to do just that.
As always, if you like what you heard today, show us some love, tell your friends, check us out on socials, subscribe, check out our classes, and give us 5 stars.
Well, that's all for us stinky folks here today. You just have yourself a wonderful day. Stay out of trouble.
Sorry, we were so stinky.
So stinky. I apologize.
Sometimes it's just a stinky day.
It's a stinky day. You're going to be musky. There's nothing you can do about it.
And I'm too fat to run away from a skunk, so... That's what happened to me.
Well, that tracks. Okay,
all right,
then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much.